Old Testament reading this morning is Habakkuk chapter 1 and 1 to 4, and then chapter 2, 1 to 4. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem them in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelations and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up, but his desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. And the New Testament reading is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And in verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's pray together. Eternal God, as we come to reflect upon your word, help us to hear what you are saying to each of us, and grant us grace to respond to your message appropriately, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I miss the old comedies from a previous generation. Some time ago, Adam quoted from that most famous theologian and biblical scholar, Private Fraser, from Dad's Army, when he said, "We're all doomed." Did you like the accent as well? With the emergence of the coronavirus, the word unprecedented was used extensively and far too much. Of course, it had been 100 years since the world had experienced a pandemic quite on this scale. We're having to learn to live with COVID, and people are still feeling the effects of COVID today. The war in Ukraine began in February, and it shows no signs of letting up anytime soon. The footage that we see on our news is just so upsetting. Individuals killed, communities destroyed, all because of a certain ideology. Then you add into the mix the terrifying talk of nuclear weapons, and things are potentially very devastating. Closer to home, we are experiencing the cost of living crisis. Bills are getting higher and higher. Food and fuel are costing so much more than they have done for a long time, if ever. people are really struggling financially. In the UK, a terrible statistic is that there are now more food banks than McDonald's. Who ever thought that a Western country and democracy like the UK in the 21st century would ever be like this? And of course, the climate crisis is still a major issue, even though it hasn't been on our news cycle too much in recent days. But next week, the United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP27, is taking place in Egypt. And at a very local level, then we have the situation with our own politics here in Northern Ireland and the confusion and chaos around that. So with all these terrible things and all these chaotic things that are happening in the world today, we could honestly say that we're living in unprecedented times. Some might say that we're actually in a perfect storm. We can echo the words of the prophet Habakkuk. Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by a people who love to argue and fight. The lectionary readings today are really appropriate for such times that we're living in. And I want us to focus on these words from the prophet. Habakkuk provides us with one of the most remarkable passages in the whole of Scripture. It contains this wonderful dialogue between the prophet and God. And the prophet initiates this dialogue because of God's apparent inaction, his apparent silence in the midst of the destruction that is happening. He saw the evildoers apparently prosper and get away with it. And he cries out to God, "Where are you, God, in the midst of all of this?" The book pictures a very frustrated prophet, much like Jonah. But to his credit, Habakkuk responds in prayer and praise, unlike Jonah, who runs away from God. In his day, the prophet Habakkuk was facing imminent Babylonian invasion, an event that occurred on a smaller scale in 605 BC before the total destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. The way that Habakkuk describes Judah indicates a violent and destructive time in its history. Habakkuk's prophecy was directed to a world that, through the eyes of God's people, must have seemed the edge of disaster. Even when the northern kingdom had been destroyed in 722 BC, God's people still remained in Judah. However, another powerful army was on the rampage. Faithful people like Habakkuk were wondering what God was doing. Hadn't God given this land to his people? Is God now going to take the land back? What's happening? As the prophet Habakkuk stood in Jerusalem and pondered the state of Judah, he must have been dumbfounded. So much evil thrived, completely in the open, but God remained strangely silent. In his mind, where was God? How long would God allow this mess to continue? Not long, according to the Lord. Another nation, the Babylonians, would come and execute justice on the Lord's behalf. The wicked in Judah, those who thought they could get away with it, were soon to be punished. Habakkuk's prayer of faith for the remainder of God's people in the face of such chaos and violence and destruction stands today as a remarkable witness of true faith and undying hope.
In this dialogue between the prophet and God, there's this lovely to and fro. And let me pick up what chapter 2 says about this. In chapter 2, verse 2, the first thing we note is that God answers. Then the Lord said to me. Habakkuk in chapter 1 has been crying out to God, and here we get God answers. Sometimes, like Habakkuk, we may feel that God is silent or that God is just not that interested in what we're experiencing, but nothing, we know nothing is further from that truth. The one who shares with us in every aspect of life cares for us more deeply than we can begin to imagine. We're moving towards Advent. We're moving towards that time when we remind ourselves again how God entered our world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christmas is that reminder, God is with us in absolutely everything. In all the chaos and destruction and turmoil, God is with us. God listens to our prayers, and God is active, even though we may not see him active. The second thing I want us to note in verse 2 is that this message was crystal clear. Write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. God was giving his reply to the prophet, and it wasn't just for him, it was for all of God's people. And the message was clear and unequivocal. There was no ambiguity to this message at all. There's been so much in our news of politicians and government. When is it never not the case, I know. But all too often, you know as well as I do, when politicians are asked a question, they waffle around the answer. But in contrast, the message from God to the prophet was crystal clear. And here's his message. And this is the third thing and the main thrust of what we want to be reminded of this morning. Is that God was inviting his people to hold patient faith. God was inviting his people in the mess, the chaos and the destruction and the violence all around him to hold patient faith. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. God was reminding the prophet, and this word of encouragement is for all of us today, that God is active in the world. God is in the process of putting everything right. The book of Habakkuk offers a picture of a people, yes, full of arrogance, but they're being humbled, while the righteous live by faith in God. It reminds us that while God may seem silent and uninvolved in our world, God always has a plan to deal with evil and always works out justice in his given time. The example of the prophet Habakkuk encourages believers to wait on the Lord, expecting that God will indeed work out everything for his good, for our good. To hold faith means being patient. Many of us are impatient. I know I'm impatient. Our culture doesn't particularly value patience. Everyone is always in such a hurry. We know that funny little poem, don't we? Patience is a virtue, possess it if you can. Find seldom in a woman, never in a man. Patience is not something many of us have, so we need to pray for it. To hold patient faith in the midst of all that this world is at this time. Even if we don't see where God is active in the world today, as we live in this time and place with war in Europe, financial problems on our doorstep, living with a virus and the consequences of that, not to mention the climate crisis, we hold patient faith. For God will work everything out in the end. And it will be to His praise and glory. So as we continue on this journey through life, with all that we see around us in this world, we remember that, yes, in the midst of this darkness, Jesus was, is, and always will be the light of the world. Amen.